This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We get started. I just want to take a moment to thank everybody here today and for all the coverage, all the professionalism through the course of the year. I know it was the start of the year was a pandemic and lots of different protocols and structure, especially dating back 2 years now. But this room, I have a lot of respect for the people in this room and the work they put in every day to cover us and be part of what we do. And with that, I'd also like to thank all Sabre fans. This is a wonderful experience for me to have the privilege of coming to work every day to coach this team and be part of this organization. And there's a lot of good things that go through my head when I think of that. We are all on a mission to make you proud. I say that we all, I think of the players, I think of Kevin Adams and our management staff and our scouts. It's amazing. The people that back here and behind it are in it for the right reason. And they feel pretty energized when we can make Sabre fans proud. So I want to thank the fans for that. Some amazing, amazing moments this year. Whether it be the outdoor game, RJ night, RJ's last call, player performances individually, collectively, just an amazing year. So it's all part of a build. We know that the biggest thing I wanted to do and how I operate is get things going the right direction and keep them going the right direction. And we have a lot of To get them going in the right direction, you have to have a clarity on where you want to go, how you want to proceed, and all the processes and intricacies that come with that. So you have to have buy-in. And I think our group here wanted to be on board with all of that, which makes it easier for all of us to do all our jobs. And just keep moving things in a progressive direction. And we've been able to do that. Where we are on that trajectory, it's in the context of our competitors, obviously, moving forward. But we do know we're going the direction we want to go, and we do know how to keep it going that direction. So, again, I thank everybody for being passionately involved, as I see that from everybody day to day in their jobs and in this room. And with our fan base, it's very inspiring to know that you're going to work and you have people so passionate about not only the game of hockey, but the Sabres specifically. So a lot of fun. I feel privileged to be here, and I will turn it over to the room.
Don, as you met with your players for their last meetings with you before they went home, what was your main message to your players as you wrapped up the season?
I wanted to hear from them. So I wasn't too concerned with the message I needed to give them, because I felt the messages that we gave them through the year, we saw them internalizing those and accepting those, embracing those, and even enhancing those. You pass along a message to the players and the team through the year, and then you sit back and you evaluate, okay, are they internalizing what you said? Are you communicating that well enough? Is there clarity? And when there wasn't, Kyle Okposo would come talk to me, or Darlene would ask me a question, and we would correct it and steer it the right way. So when the year finished and we had our individual meetings, I didn't feel I had to tell the guys anything. I was more more wanted to learn from them, to feel what they felt. And so it was open discussion for them to lead the way. I mean, I gave them points that, you know, the other players had talked about or typically what players could discuss, you know, how you felt, highlights of the season, those sorts of things. And they just ran with it. So, you know, I like in my meetings, we included the whole coaching staff. I don't like, you know, I'm not a formal guy. I don't like formal. I think there's a place for it, but it's certainly not behind the scenes for us. And we had the entire staff in there and our video coaches in there. And I enjoyed the calm that the players have around our staff and our group, the trust that they have in our group. And it was nice to hear them open up and discuss what they wanted for themselves and what they experienced for themselves. And there was very little feedback that I felt I had to give them, which is a nice position to be in.
Last week, Don, you said that amid preparing for each of these games that it's easy to get lost in the progress these young guys have made because you're always thinking about, okay, what can I give them next? Well, now that you are at a point where you can reflect, I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, what's it like looking back on the progress that all those young guys made under you and your coaching staff this season?
I mean, progress is all about, you know, that's our intent. That's our focus. So it is rewarding, and it's extremely rewarding when you see players achieve, knowing they put the work in, they do what you ask. But, you know, there really isn't a lot of, you know, I reflect, and when I reflect, it's that. I reflect on the season. It's like, you know, RJ Knight, it's Okposo scoring his 20th. It's Skinny finding his scoring touch again. It's Tej scoring 38 goals. It's Victor fighting through an injury to finally come back and persevere. It's Mitzi scoring the overtime winner to finish the year. Like, when I reflect back, it's that's what I look at. Like, the rewards these guys got is phenomenal for me. And Craig Anderson is his 300th and then some. You know, Yoko Haru becoming a leader and grabbing Owen Power and wanting to partner up with him. It's Darlene becoming an all-star. Those are special for me personally. Then I move forward. I just love that our team. It feels like our team. I talk about a direction. It feels like when you go a direction, it's a trajectory. You know, you just keep getting better, and you target things as a coach. Okay, what are our capabilities present? What are our capabilities going into this game, whether it be Boston or going into whatever? And then what can we put in front of them that can challenge them to become better? And it felt like we just kept moving up and up and up. And I feel like, okay, the exciting thing for me is we've gotten to this level is the next thing. Figuring it out and then targeting it and moving on it. And the off season for me, the excitement is I can move on to the next thing. And we can move on to the next thing. I've talked about building our offense. We can do more there. We have way more lineup stability with what Kevin's been able to do with our roster. You know, a year ago we had so many unknowns with UFAs that we knew our roster was going to be completely different. And this summer or this off season, we know what our roster is going to look like for almost 9 out of 10 positions for next year, or 8 out of 10, and that's amazing because now we can move on to that. We can start thinking about what we want to do on day one, day two, or game one, and that's exciting. That's very, very exciting as a coach.
Don, you said many times, November, December, January, February, you weren't as obsessed about results. You were obsessed more about making sure these guys were playing the right way and the results would come. In March and April, the results came. Now, as you go forward, how much of that was a feeling you needed to get them to believe because they were a young team, and how much do you continue that theory when you're trying to strive for the playoffs now? Does it change at all when the goals change a little?
No, we will have a focus of getting better until we win a championship. It's not going to leave. Like, we just want better, more, and competitive people want more. You know, they have an unsatisfied appetite. And that's what we want in players. When we look at players, I don't want a player that's satisfied. I don't want a player that wants to stay the same. And that is the culture we want to build. We want guys here that want more, that are hungry for more, not trying to be, you know, I won something here, so let's replicate that now. Let's do it better, bigger, stronger, faster, harder. And so that mentality of getting better will never change. We talk about winning, you know, that there's one thing, and I'm not a greedy guy, but if there's one thing I'll ever be greedy about, it's winning. And, you know, you can't win enough, but there's a process to winning. And if you don't respect that process, you're not going to win enough. And, you know, I think, you know, respecting that process is continuing to compete hard every day, whether it be a practice, compete hard in your preparation, and then target the right things to win. And so, no, we're gonna keep operating as we've operated this year. It's the only way I know. And I've been fortunate to be around a lot of winning in my career, and I like the direction we're going, but we got a long way to go.
Don, pardon me if this is the same question, but when you enter into the equation expectations, there will be more expectations. You laid a foundation here, and everybody saw signs of that blossoming over the past 2 months. But when you enter expectations and the pressure of expectations into the picture, that this team needs to build on whatever it did this year and compete for a playoff spot next year, to ultimately it's wins and losses now. How do you alter your message in any way, or how do you confront the expectation, the pressure of expectations?
Yeah, I think pressure of expectations is an indicator of your belief in yourself. You know, you when you doubt those expectations, you can crumble under them. You could feel pressure from them. So for our guys, even the moment we took the job over, we talked about our belief system. And, you know, at that point, we didn't have a real strong belief system that we could win a game. Obviously, we all remember that. And that was a lot of pressure for those guys. But they you know, behind the scenes, we're working on that belief system, and a lot of what I coach is to strengthen that belief system, and we want guys that you feel external pressure of expectation when you're not dialed in and you feel like things are out of your control, and what's in our control is that next game. Preparation starts with preparation for that next game. When you get in the game, it's out competing the guy across from you, like, you know, and we have a culture where guys thrive on the moment, and we're creating that culture. They've created that culture, our group has, that the moment matters, and we're not going to get too far ahead of ourselves. And I think the playoff stuff is awesome for fans. It's awesome for people in this room. But that's not anything about us. We can't worry about 6 months from now. It will take care of itself when we take care of what we have complete control over. And it doesn't have control over us. So, you know, I like where we're at. I don't have an answer to whether we're going to make playoffs or not next year. I have an answer. I have to stay focused on just keep getting better and win the game in front of you. And I know if we do that, good things are going to come. So we do that with... We've got to walk that with confidence, and I believe this group will.
Don, you have a good idea of who you're going to put on the ice next year and hopefully what kind of product you want it to be. For season ticket holders that didn't have them this year, what would make them want to come back to watch this team next year?
Well, I could tell you what I hope. I mean, I hope they love hockey, and love hockey. Even you, typically when you love hockey, you love the speed and the passion the guys play with, and the intensity, and then you factor in consistency, bringing it each and every night, and that usually comes with the internal drive of a player, you know, and we can help or hurt the environment of that in the position of leverage that we're in as coaches or management. So, you know, we want to set our culture up so it's conducive to that. We want to bring players in that will play fearless and passionate, and to do that, they have confidence. So Dylan Cousins comes to mind. I mean, that guy believes he's he's going to be an impact player and help win. We all see that, and he's going to because of that drive. He will not quit until that happens. And we have lots of guys like that that are fun to see. So, you know, it's almost like there should be enough to entertain you, but enough to intrigue you also. Like, how good are these guys going to be? And how good are they going to get by virtue of how they're playing and how they're attacking situations? And that's what we feel we're building. And that's something we will never be satisfied with. You're never satisfied with something you really love. You want more and more and more. And our guys, like I said, you get guys that compete and love to play hockey, I'll never be able to satisfy their appetite. You just put another challenge in front of them. And that's the group we want. So, you know, that's what we'll keep doing. And if it's something you like, then we welcome you here, that's for sure. But no, we know we have great fans and great people that love the game of hockey. So we want to do our part in, you know, making it fun and intriguing for them as well.
Don, how concerned are you with the injuries this year, the amount of the injuries, how long they took, whether they were handled right? Is that something you're going to look into? Is that a concern?
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, when you talk about something to that effect, it's probably more for Kevin to speak on that. I don't have a concern because I have to focus on what I have to focus on, Paul. So, you know, when we're missing guys, the fact that we missed, and again, I remember at one point we had 11 guys on the right of my board up there that were not healthy or couldn't play. As a coach, my mind turned right to me, okay, how is this an opportunity for us? This is an opportunity for us. We're in survival mode. Let's learn how to survive. Like, just fight through this. And our guys got better. The guys that were in that fight got better. So when we got healthy, they were better because of it. And injuries are part of our game. Now, we had a lot of injuries, and I don't know where we were. Man games missed for the league. I know we were up top, but there were other teams there too. And so for me, I process that way. And you know, Kevin and I obviously have lots of discussions that will happen now on various points, but my thoughts on it will probably, I don't have much thought on it right now, Paul. But I know it's just, my first thought was just part of the game, and you got to deal with it as a coach.
Now, how did you see Rasmus Dahlin grow into his leadership role? Because, I mean, you look at him from 5 months ago, he just seems so much more confident, just standing at that podium, what's more, not just on the ice, off the ice, it seemed like he hit another, a different level, I guess.
Well, it was fun to be part of it. And I noticed the same thing, and that was obviously the hope for us as coaches was to move him and all our guys along in that and being confident in who they are. You know, we have lots of structure underneath, you know, within our system and stuff, but there's, you know, I never want to have too much structure where it sabotages the freedom for people to be themselves. And the originality and then the confidence in themselves, you know, in this forum. And, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, these guys are under immense pressure. They're professional athletes. They make good money. They're role models within their families when they enter the league, within their neighborhood, everything. There's different pressures to come to that. And they've never been in that situation until they get in the NHL. Then they become an NHL player. And sometimes, you know, I've watched and witnessed it over the years. How do I act? How does an NHL player act? How does a player in this situation or person in this situation act? And, you know, sometimes we run our organizations and we project that. You have to act this way. And we don't. We want our players to be themselves. And we need to support them in being themselves. And, you know, the when you see players comfortable being themselves, whether it be in here, you know, we don't want players to come in here and not be themselves. You know, we want our fans to see that this guy's different than that guy and see their personalities because that's what's going to make this thing special. And so when you see the guys feel more comfortable that doing that, it's awesome. You know, what we want to do as coaches was unleash Dahlin's competitiveness. You know, Dahl's, you know, my observation of Dahl's and being around different players was this is a guy that cares so much that he stopped thinking about himself to think about, okay, how do I help the Sabres? How do I become what everybody wants me to become? So every mistake was, you know, he more wanted to please the coach and what do you need me to do? What do I do? And then he's concentrating on what I want him to do. And I really wanted him to just, no, don't worry about what I want to do or what you have to do as a number one pick overall. Just get in the moment, do what you do, and then we can tweak from there and there. And so that's our motive with each guy. And with Dolls, he's a guy that not only embraced it, but that's he's got talent that you want. You're going to bring it out of him that way. So it's really fun and rewarding for us to see him as a coach play the way, you know, put his personality into his play. Again, we have enough structure underneath to support him. And if we, a lot of times there was errors and it was blamed on him, but it's because we didn't do the structure underneath him that we should have, and we're still learning that. So it is nice to see him be able to do that and grow in that area. And I think that, you know, we enjoy him and his personality like we do so many guys back there. It's nice that you guys get to see more of that here. So I don't know if that answered it, Bill, but okay.
The exit interview you just said were more about hearing from the players. Did any themes stick out when you
looked at it? The lots of excitement about potential. So nobody was satisfied with what just transpired, although they were happy with it. But they were, if I am a semi, you know, it's a summation of what they've said and the vibe they put across, it was let's get to work to build more. And again, that's a theme that Kevin Adams and myself, we've been working with the rest of the staff, so it's not just the two of us by any means, working to create that or foster the environment that can be created. You guys own this franchise. We don't. Like, you're on the ice every day. You're competing every day. You're getting ready for that next game, and you're going home sore and tired and worn out, and you got to go play that next team. And the group has taken that over to the point where you feel that they want ownership. They want responsibility. They're ready for the next challenge. And they're moved to that next challenge already. I mean, these guys are talking about next season, but they're talking about what they're going to do through the summertime for next season to get prepared for next season. So that was the kind of the bulk of what I grabbed from the guys, which was very nice to see as a coach. And I said, as I mentioned, I felt I had to say very little back to them. I felt they had a really good grasp on what I would want as a coach. Don't be satisfied for what just happened, although we progressed some, and stay hungry through the summer to build. And I think they all have that mentality. They want to get right back to work, whether it be in the weight room or different skill stuff.
Kevin Adams put an emphasis this offseason, even going back to last March, of keeping players who want to be here in Buffalo and wearing the Sabres jersey, which obviously led to Sam Risto and Jack's departure. Those are three guys that had questions about wanting to be here. Could you have succeeded, come this far, laid the foundation that you did with any of those three guys present?
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far, John, to assume those three didn't want to be here. Like, I just don't. I don't want to.
But
I don't want to throw and say these guys didn't want to be here. I think those guys, and I know for me personally, when I took over Ristolainen and Reinhardt, Jack was injured, but Ristolainen and Reinhardt were really helpful with me and pushing and turning, and we changed practices and had to go. We demanded that they be a lot more intense. They were so supportive of that. It was great. They were unrestricted free agents. So, you know, lots of different scenarios in there. So I want to clear that up first, because just in fairness.
Risto still had 1 year left on his contract, and Sam was a restricted free agent. So.
It could have come back. He was going into that. You're absolutely right on that. So now that I said that, let's go back to your question so I hit it right.
Well, I guess did guys who have been here for way too long and been involved with the frustrations of losing, perhaps they needed a change of scenery to some degree, and maybe you folks identified that. And how much of them having to leave allow the youngsters to step up and fill the vacuums of those of leadership roles and roles more important.
Yeah. I don't want to speak on the movement stuff. I did feel comfortable speaking on Reinhardt and Risto because I had them. They were spectacular for me as a coach. So the other stuff, Kevin's going to be in, and I think, you know, he could maybe go a little further. But for the young guys, I can easily speak on that. These guys we identified, they were competent, capable, and hungry as hell to invest it in Buffalo and the challenge of trying to everybody says fix something. We weren't trying to fix anything. Everybody says rebuild. You know, I think if you win the Stanley Cup, there's one team that rebuilds, a team that wins the Stanley Cup. They built it to win a cup. Everybody else is building. They're just building. And so these guys wanted to build. They wanted better. The appetite is huge, enormous, and unsatisfied. And that, for sure, for me, was I spoke plenty that this is the job I wanted last summer. I was an interim coach when I took over, and there were vacancies all over the league, or not all over the league, but multiple different spots, and I had no interest in going somewhere else. And it was because of the appetite of the young players here that had a huge capacity to develop. And, you know, that's exciting. It was exciting for me as a coach to be a part of, because I could see, you know, the potential of each one of those individually, and then how they could come together collectively. And so, you know, I had lots of people last summer saying, why aren't you, you know, seeking out this position in the NHL? And I said, I am not doing that. And that is why. It was motivated by the capacity and appetite of our young players, absolutely.
Given all that you guys as a group went through this season, how long have you waited to work for your first head coaching opportunity? What were the emotions like when you walk in that room at the end of the game Friday night and you sort of realize that, I mean, this group as it is, I mean, you know, it's going to be different. And this first season that you had as a head coach is over.
Yeah, you know, I'm grateful that I'm here and coaching this team and this group in Buffalo. But the job itself is, you know, I'm never going to be satisfied and actually – I don't. It's almost like I've heard plenty of people tell me over the years, "Coach, smile," you just want the next thing. You just, you know, you're happy we won the game in Chicago, but you're really, really happy and excited that you have something you can build on. You can move to the next, you know, because you're waiting to move up and win the ultimate, and you can only go one step at a time. And so when you take the next step, it means you can get to the next one. And for me, that's the drive. That's the excitement. I want to get to the next step so we can get to the next step. We can't go five steps ahead. You know, and as an example, you've heard me many times, we're not going to chase analytics. I know we're bad in this analytic and that analytic. When we get better, those will take care of themselves. It's just the next step. And, you know, for me, that's the excitement. I will say that, yeah, I've had a long journey coaching, but I've had confidence I'd be in the NHL at some point. I just wanted to be good when I got to the NHL. I wanted to be better when I got to the NHL. So the timing of taking over this team was perfect for me. It was right. It felt right. And then being in Buffalo itself, and there's some things that personally in my life were that just fit. This feels like the right spot to be at the right time. So, happy and excited for all of that, grateful for all of that, but for me, it's always that next step. What's the next one?
Don, on that note, like where you are in your journey, everybody we've spoken to talks about the environment you've cultivated, playing free without fear of mistakes. Where does that locker room vision come from? How have you built that through your career journey? Is that personal belief system, previous teams? Where did that vision start?
Yeah, you know, lots of places. I mean, I was a player that loved the game, wanted to play in the NHL, and had some different experiences, great experiences in hockey and some not so great experiences in hockey, where you're so passionate, you train so hard, and then you never get an opportunity in certain situations. And I know how that feels. And, you know, so I have a lot of respect for the players and the commitment and the demand that they're under. And we want to try to give them opportunity for all that work they put in to get the reward of it. And, you know, so, you know, we want to create a culture. I say we, you know, it's, I couldn't do anything without support of management, ownership, and, you know, support staff around me. So we have an amazing staff that just engages in it every day and wanting to see our guys, you know, like be like kids, you know, enjoy the competitiveness of hockey and winning and something they love to do. So we just want them to just have connect with the reason they started playing the game to begin with. To me, that's really important. You know, you're playing this because you love it. And when you love it, you stay outside in, you know, 20 degree below weather and your parents are telling you, get in here, it's too cold. And you're like, no way, I'm not going in there. And we want guys to connect with those moments, even though they're in the National Hockey League. And we're able to do that here. And again, that's for the support that I have all around me and above me and everywhere else. So.
My apologies. Do you think the Sabres alumni will recognize you at their next golf tournament?
That's a joke we got to explain.
Yeah, well,
we got to explain that
joke,
one.
But yeah. it's something that you've come along. Maybe it's how far you've come.
I hope so. I hope so. And recognize me means I don't look like a foreigner walking in the room.
Yes.
Yes. No, my first week that I came on board as an assistant coach, the alumni had a golf outing, and I was invited in there, but nobody knew who I was. No one knew what I really looked like. And I showed up a couple minutes late, and I snuck in the back door, and a bunch of the alumni were looking back, and they're like, who is this guy walking in our room? And Rob Ray didn't even know who I was at that point. He moved from the front of the room to the back of the room to walk up to me and say, look around the room. Can I help you? Like, you don't belong in here. And I introduced myself. He said, oh, okay, well, come on in. And so, yeah, I hope I'm welcome, John.
Don, how have you noticed things change in the locker room from when you first took over a year ago to now? Just in terms of the way the players are with each other, and you talk about cultivating that culture and things like that. How have you noticed from your perspective it different from when you first took over during that winless streak to now?
Guys are not afraid to be themselves, and they have a vision and with clarity on how we should be as a unit, as a collective whole. Credit to Zemgus, Gergensens, and Kyle Okposo, and on, where they really set a tone. I mean, you know, when you are yourself, you stick your neck out there. If you're a funny guy and you say something at the wrong time, you get an older player, a veteran guy, and like, hey, shut up, you know, or they're just belittled or whatever. And we don't have any of that. You know, we maybe something would be there that somebody would be corrected, but it's out of, you know, compassion and care. And so I would say that locker room is a fun environment to go into, but a very businesslike when it's supposed to be businesslike. And to me, that there's, you got to have that on-off switch of, you know, you can't take things too serious, but you need to take serious things to heart. And we needed to learn that, okay, you don't have to be serious all the time. You need to be serious when you need to be serious. And very businesslike and workmanlike, and we are, and our guys actually have found that switch a little bit, and that's nice, and it's through very, very good leadership, the guys I mentioned and more.
Kyle said that a guy sitting next to him before the New Jersey game said that they expected to win this game. We're going to win this game. Is that different from the beginning when you first took over last year?
Major shift. Because it falls in, that is the belief system that we had hoped to have, the believing you can win, believing you should win, for the right reasons. You plan to prepare properly, and you're have the appetite and commitment to see it through, and those are, you know, in kind of intangible things, but they're real things, and our guys. You got to have a feel for that. You got to have a sense for that. As I mentioned, when you should joke around and when you shouldn't, and when work's to be done and when it's playtime. And we're doing a much, much better job at that. But the real essence of it is they see the way they can win through the identity that we, you know, personnel we have and system we play. So that is a big nugget, I guess, when you hear that as a coach, that's what it's all about. You need to get your guys to the point where they expect to win.
With how successful that leadership group was for you this year, and obviously a lot can change over the summer, but have you put any thought into naming a captain before next season?
Yeah, Kevin, well, I'll let him speak on that. We talk quite a bit. We talk quite a bit through the year, and the answer, the short answer to that is yes. I mean, that's obviously something we're hypersensitive to, you know, in the positions we're in, and, you know, we feel that we have incredible leadership and, you know, we're in a really good position to, you know, in light of that question, we feel we're in a very, very fortunate position as me as a coach and I'm sure Kevin as a manager, we're really excited about where we're at in that regard.
And how much did you enjoy watching Domi grow as a leader this year? When we talked to him, he said, I'm a totally different person this year.
Yeah, that's everything. I mean, it's everything. We hope to do that with each guy and every guy, and we push for that for every guy. It's important. You know, as I mentioned, they come in the league, and it's like, okay, how do I act and be like an NHL player? Well, no, just play hockey and be yourself, and we're going to take care of the other stuff, you know, how you can be successful and at this level. And it is so fun to see, you know, guys' personalities and them comfortable with who they are. And we have lots of good guys. I don't think we have any bad. We don't have any bad guys. I'll say that right now. We don't. You know, there's nothing to hide from our group. They're all good people, and that's what we want. Good, hungry people, and they fit it. Check that off. So that's why I can sit here with so much enthusiasm. We're young. We got a ways to go. You know, we talked about the changing of the belief system, and I'm talking about winning, but it's harder, believe it or not, their belief system and scoring. We're missing scoring chances because they just don't understand yet that, you know, they can score now, and that was something that I talked with Tej a lot. I said, Tej, you've put in enough work. Like, it's score now, kid. You know, you can do this. And it was almost like he needed to hear that, you know, don't wait for scoring anymore. Like, you've done enough training, and you're strong enough, big enough, smart enough. Like, score now. And he took that and then some. But I think our whole team is that way. You know, we're creating stuff. We're not cashing in on it yet. But that's a big part of growth.
You talk about Dylan wanting it. He's, you know, possesses so much confidence. Like, just how do you see that he, like, how do you see that he wants it? Like, what does he convey in the room on the ice?
He forces things, Bill. Really simple. He wants to impose his will on the guy. And visually, it would be he has the puck and he's used to beating a guy with just his physical attributes. So he might take the puck right to the guy. In lieu of the space he had here, or as Thompson did a year ago. And you know, Thompson, a year ago, we talked with him a lot. You know, he exposed too many pucks, and he tried to beat a guy. And the message would be, Tommy, you can score the goal right now, even though that guy's standing there, and the net's back there. You just rip it right through his feet, and it's in, and put it on the board. And so just changing the perspective of it. And Dylan is so competitive that he wants it now, as we talked about Dahlin. When Dahlin makes a mistake, you could almost be certain he's going to make another mistake trying to make up for the last mistake he just made within 10 seconds. You just saw it. And he had to control that energy, take a step back and a breath, and not force it. Because when you force things at a level of junior hockey, you impose your will on the other team. You're good enough to do it. But nobody's really good enough to do that in the NHL. You've got to pick your spot. And, you know, Alex Ovechkin doesn't go out there and score every shift. He gets 20 shifts a game. He scores one or two. It's a big night. So he picks his spot at the right moment. He knows when that goal is going to be scored or that space that is going to be created, and he jumps into it. And younger players tend to just push that moment. I want that moment now. I want that moment every shift. And they have to take a step back and discern, okay, when is it highly likely I can score a goal, or how can I score it differently, or how can I make a play? And that's just a process of acclimation to this level of development. And Dylan, you know, and Dylan is in the process of this. He's getting so much better in so many other areas. It's great. So it's almost like, okay, he's going to work his way through this as Tej did. When he comes out on the other side, it's going to be extremely powerful.
Complimenting the on-ice progress, the team's got a lot of support from the Buffalo Bills, especially the second half of the year. McDermott and Allen making visits, the newest draft pick being at RJ's last call. I'm curious the role you see that playing in the continued reinvigorization of the fan base and even for like this young locker room.
Well, you know, I think I would hope Josh came back to the game because he liked it and he had fun. I know he talked to the guys and he's developing a friendship with guys on our team. And but that's really, you know, what you want it to be about. you don't want to be saying, hey, will you come over to our game? So any time you have people like that that are you know, obviously people in our community look up to, be part of what you're doing here is awesome. It's you know, when you see them having fun and want to be here, it is energizing to all of us to have them around and want to be around or enjoy being around. So, you know, it's a big boost. Hopefully in the future we keep playing a brand of hockey and move a relationship along that all people want to come back and be part of this, just as you mentioned those guys.
So Owen's got 8 games of tape under his belt. How do you feel now?
Great, actually great. I tell you, I was probably sweating and nervous about, like, just stay healthy, just get the 8 or 9 or 10 games in at the end of the year, because it's going to be, he has all this hindsight now going into the summertime. And I thought he did spectacular. I'm not surprised by how he did, because I just have so much respect for his game and the work he's done to this point. But the value in having, you know, that opportunity and it integrating with our team, I didn't know how he would integrate with our team. I'm not surprised how he integrated with our team, giving our group credit for the people they are. They embraced Owen and were excited about Owen. And he came in and he was like a little brother to them, and then some. And that was nice to be part of.
And are you, as his NHL coach, believe that he's not going to Worlds, that was a mutual decision, so he can have a real offseason?
Yeah, those decisions are, you know, they have to be the player. So I would support whatever he really felt and then say, okay, if you're going here, you know, maybe this is something you could think of or focus on or whatnot. Like that's where I would get involved. And I don't know if that I would have said anything to him if he was going to Worlds in that regard. I might have just said, just go play. Yeah, the players, you know, we want them to build over the summer, to train intensely over the summer. They understand that. They feel that. So then they make a decision on what they want to do. So, you know, I didn't feel I should be pushing anybody to go to Men's World Championships. I think that has to come from within, but they do know their responsibility to us in the fall. And however they, you know, whatever decision they make, we were going to support it either way.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.